I'm still young. But, you know, I probably wasn't ready then. Probably still not ready now. Even the old guys are saying they're still learning things.
Yes, that's true.
So, I thank the Lord because, you know, sometimes you question, well, was I really ready or should I wait longer? But, you know, in the end, if I wouldn't have gone when I went, I probably wouldn't have married Adi. So I think things worked out. The Lord was good to me. I did want to mention to you, brethren, that in May, we were invited to New York. And, boy, that we had a really good time there. We were invited to preach there. We also went to Michigan to see the brethren there, and it was a real enjoyable time. They had visited us in December there in Puebla, and us being able to get to go visit them was just real joyful for us. Some good brethren there, and they were a blessing to me. But as we arrived there, the immigration officer took a look at Adi's papers and said, "Hey, you're doing some things wrong, and you got to get some paperwork taken care of." And we did not know that at the border. They never told us this, but there they did. And so, come to find out, there's a few paperwork forms that we have to get fixed, get ready. And Adi won't be able to leave or go back into Mexico until those are in order. And so, we will be here for a certain amount of time. Not sure how long. It may be. As little as a month, it may be a little longer. Right now, it's not a for sure thing how long, but that's just what the situation looks like right now. Just wanted to let y'all know. Please keep us in your prayers. Yes. We want to get back as soon as possible.
Amen.
Not because we don't like y'all, but we just have work to do there, and we want to get back. So please keep that in your prayers. I'd like to start off with a word of prayer. Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, in ourselves, we're weak, Lord, and we're not strong. But Lord, we're here not in trust, trusting in man. We're not here looking upon ourselves as great thinkers or great in might. We're here looking at you, Lord. We know that everything you've done in us, through us, is by your power. And we thank you for it, Lord. And we're here seeking your face. We want you to do something great, Lord. And we know you're ready to do it, Lord. And we ask that you would use us, Lord. We're here. We put ourselves in your will, Lord. We put ourselves in your hands. Do what you will with us, Lord. I pray that you would work in us even tonight as we consider your word, Lord. We pray that you'd work through us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to read Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. I'm just going to mention the first part of the verse. He says, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not." You know, what he's telling us here is that the truth is valuable. The truth is something that is worth having. And he's saying basically, you know, you should spend whatever it costs. You should do whatever it takes. You should strive. You should spend your life trying to get the truth, and you should get the truth and don't sell it. The truth is valuable. The truth is a valuable thing, and the truth is worth it.
Amen.
The truth is worth whatever it costs for us to get it. That's what he's saying.
Right.
Buy the truth. Buy it and sell it not. The truth is worth it. Now, we all know the truth hurts. The truth hurts. It's difficult to hear the truth. I mean, the first time you heard that it was wrong for you to bow down to images, did that not hurt? The first time you heard that you're not supposed to pray to Mary and Mary will not intercede for you, did that not hurt? Well, we talk to people all the time and they hear this and it hurts them. It offends them. They're working, you know, mechanics are working with their big old wrenches and everything's fine. Oh yeah, we all believe in the same God. Oh, you know, you can't, you know, ask Mary to intercede for you. Oh, what? They pull out their big wrench and say that again, you know, because the truth hurts them. It affects them. The truth is not easy to hear. But it's worth it. It's worth it. It's valuable because in the end, it comes out to the saving of your soul. The truth. The truth is hard and it hurts. But if you search the scriptures, you know what the scriptures are going to show you? They're going to give you testimony of Jesus Christ. And when you believe and put your faith in Jesus Christ, it's going to save your soul. It's going to free you. And the truth is worth it in the end. Even though it hurts at the beginning. The truth is valuable because it saves your soul. The truth is valuable because it's useful in sanctifying us. Isn't that what Christ says? He prays. He says, sanctify them in thy truth. What did he say? Thy word is truth. The word of God is the truth. And if we're in that word of God, it is going to sanctify us. Even though that hurts. The word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. It pierces right through that spirit and soul of yours, right through that joint and marrow. It goes all the way down to the heart, and it hurts when you hear it, and it's a reproof to you, and you don't like hearing that truth. But in the end, if you follow and you buy and you take a hold of that truth and you live by that truth, it is going to sanctify you. That's worth it. It's valuable. The truth is valuable. It hurts. But what I see is that we don't value the truth like we should. At least not like he says it here. He says, buy the truth and don't sell it. You do whatever it takes to get the truth and don't sell it. But what we see is we're a bunch of wimps. We're always looking for comfort. We're always looking for feeling good. And we don't want the truth. What we want comfort. What do you want? You want a comfort in a lie? That's what a lot of people want. Truth hurts. So I'd rather you comfort me with a lie. We're a bunch of babies. You know, if I could sum up what our generation is with one word, it would be marshmallows. You think, well, why marshmallows? I bet you weren't thinking that. That's because that's basically how you say a wimps in Spanish. Bombones. And that's what we are. We're a bunch of bombones, a bunch of marshmallows. I mean, you put a marshmallow to the fire and it catches fire and then it just melts. And that's how we are. We're not, this generation isn't the generation that wants to go through these tough times, that wants to go through these hard sayings and really, really work so that we can come out shining like precious stones. No! As soon as we feel the fire, we want somebody to blow us off because it hurts. So I solved the equation for looking for X. It's marshmallow. That's our generation. We're wimps. We're babies. It's easy for us to sell the truth. We just don't value the truth. You know, if there's anything that's worth anything, it's going to cost you. If we really are looking for the easiest way. We're looking for what's most comfortable, what takes the least work. That's what we want to do, and we want to be fine with that. But really, if it's not going to cost you anything, it's not going to be worth anything. And the truth is going to cost you. You're going to have to work hard for it. But he says, buy the truth and sell it not. The truth hurts at the beginning, but the ending of it is good. And the lie feels good at the beginning, but in the end, it's a sad, miserable nothing. Right? That's how you feel. Empty. You ever been lied to? I was lied to once. Just once. No. When I was a kid, I think it was my first year. I guess I was 6 years old. And I was at school. And the teacher told us, it was January, some day in January. And the teacher told us, well, kids, today we're going to write a letter. We're going to write a letter to the three wise men. This is a tradition that they have in Mexico, the three wise men, right? What their tradition is, they write everything they want, all the things they wish that they could desire. They write it on a list, and then they roll that paper up and put it on a balloon, and it goes up into the air, and they say the wise men will receive it, and they'll bring you your gifts tomorrow. Now, this is everywhere in Mexico, and it's huge, you know? It's a good time to have a BB gun to shoot all those balloons down. It's a lot of fun. But I never knew this. I had never heard anything about this. So I'm there in school, and the teacher's telling me, write down on a piece of paper anything you want. Anything you want, you're going to get it because these three wise men are going to bring it to you. And I was excited. I mean, I started writing down, and I can't remember everything I wrote down. I remember rollerblades, but I wrote a whole lot of things down. And I was excited, you know, we sent that balloon up, and I'm going to get a bunch of stuff. Well, I went home and told my parents, and they're like, no, that's a lie. So no wonder I've always had such a hard time in school. I don't believe in teachers anymore. That's the reason my report cards scarred me for life. It's not fun to be lied to. And in the end, the lie really is a big deception, and it's disappointing when you come to the end and you don't get what you were thinking you were going to get. It's not valuable like you thought it was going to be valuable. And I see that our tendency is that we have become so not interested in truth that it's not valuable to us. We just don't even want to work for it. We don't care about truth anymore. Now, I've never understood why Christians love Christmas.
Amen.
I've never understood. And you know, it doesn't have to get into, you know, oh, it's all pagan and they're wicked sinners. I just never understood why we would be interested in something that's not true.
Yeah,
it's not truth.
Right.
Why do we love it so much?
Amen.
I had to ask myself that question because I have a bunch of people I used to work with, people I used to go to school with, and these people hated Christ. I mean, literally, they would tell the ugliest jokes about Christ, and it would just make me feel so horrible. How could they even possibly say things like that? They hated Christ, but they loved Christmas. So I'm thinking, what? There's something not right there. Christmas is not truth. So why are we so in love with Christmas? I think we have to ask ourselves that. I think it should be a question that comes up. And hey, you don't have to just, you know, follow whoever says that Christmas is not true. You need to find out, is Christmas true? And if it's not true, why do you love it so much? I tell you, there's a great story Jesus Christ came down to this earth, became a man to save souls like you and me. It's a great story, but then at Christmas, it's all fluffed up with a bunch of tradition. And that's what people love about it. It's not the story they love. Now, Christmas is just the little, you know, whatever thing. But there's other doctrines. There's other things that are so much more important. And I mean just great truths that it seems like we've just thrown out the window. We just don't even care anymore. I mean, our parents taught us. Our parents taught us since we were young to live godly lives. They taught us right from wrong, and they exhorted us, and they showed us this good way of living. And yet, sin became more pleasurable, more important, and we just kind of threw all those things that they told us out of the window. And many, many of us, many, many young people have fallen out of the way, running into sin. And, you know, it's not like it's impossible that anybody or anyone could do it. Yeah, everybody is susceptible to it. But, I mean, how about at least repenting after you've sinned? I don't understand that. I mean, yeah, somebody sins, okay. But not repenting, I mean, just completely forgetting about God, not having that heart of repentance, it's because we've just forgotten what they've taught us. The truth that's been told to us, the truth that's been preached to us, that from Sunday school they've taught us since we were little kids, and we just forgot about it. We don't value it. What about the simple doctrines like meeting in the name of Jesus?
Amen.
You know, this is a truth.
That's right.
It's not an opinion somebody had once. It's a truth. We can see scriptures. Jesus says it just plain as day. Meet in my name. And, you know, I don't know if you realize it, but meeting in Jesus' name is not to lift ourselves above all other believers.
Right.
And to set ourselves apart and aside from all others. Oh, we are. No, it's actually the opposite. Meeting in Jesus' name is saying, hey, we don't associate ourselves with any other name, with any other denomination. We are in the name of Jesus. And anybody who is in Jesus is our brother.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
It's a great doctrine, a great truth.
Amen.
And yet it's like we've just throw it away so easily. And I wonder why. Well, I think that one who's been given everything doesn't value what he has. I mean, if you never worked for it and really paid the price to get it, then it's not that valuable to you, and it's easy to just let go. And I think that's where we are. A whole lot of people who've just been given these truths. We didn't really have to pay the price for them. You know, meeting in Jesus' name, I didn't have to pay a really high price to be able to do that. I was kind of just thrown into it, right? It was normal to me. I'd never met in another gathering that wasn't in Jesus' name since I went to New York. It was normal to me. It is normal. But you know that some people actually had to pay a big price? And you see those people that actually had to lose family over it, lose friends, lose a whole bunch of things, and they actually paid the price to believe and follow that truth, and they're strong with that. They're not just going to give it up and sell it easily. And it's been given to us, and some of us may go out there today and say, hey, oh yeah, look, we do meet in Jesus' name. I didn't even realize that. Because it's so common. And we don't have no sense of we need to keep this. This is important to us. This is valuable. You know, I don't think we should just follow blindly. Oh, well, he teaches that, and we'll just all follow, and whatever he teaches. If he says Christmas isn't true, I'll just follow him. If he says meet in Jesus' name, I'll just follow him. If he says do this, do that, I'll just follow him. That's not the way we should do it.
That's correct.
If we just have a bunch of people following blindly, then you know what's going to happen? Those people who have these truths and who hold these truths and who will not sell these truths are just going to die, and that's it. We have to personally say, hey, I'm going to invest some time. I'm going to find out. I'm going to study. I'm going to dig. I'm going to get in there. And I'm going to search it out until I know the truth. And it's something that I understand, that I love, that I'm going to hold strong. Something that I'm not just going to walk out on. It's something that's valuable because we put the time into it. If that doesn't happen, then what's going to happen with the church? What's going to happen when the next generation, who's been given all these doctrines, have them, but just don't really value them? We could just lose them. We need to hold these truths. I think we need to invest. We need to not only have been given these truths, but we need to buy them.
That's right.
We need to actually get make them ours. We need to understand them. Hey, ask the pastors. Why do we meet in Jesus' name? Find out, research, understand. We need to know these things for ourselves, not just follow blindly what they've taught us. Isn't that what we preach?
Yeah.
We preach, hey, y'all should not. Well, I preach to the Catholics, and I say, hey, you should not you should not just believe what somebody's been given to you. You should not just believe the tradition that you've been given, not the tradition of men. You should actually investigate, read the Bible, find out what God says, and you should believe the truth. And yet, we've just received what we have, and we're just following along, and we haven't even really found out what we believe, and why we believe it, and how to hold fast to what we believe, and be firm on what we believe. Because we've just received it without really buying it. Buy the truth and sell it not. The truth is not only, I think, worth buying and saving, because it's valuable, and it's not only worth that. The truth is also worth investing in.
Yes.
You see, the truth is the most valuable thing there is. The most valuable thing there is. And there's a whole lot of poor, hungry sinners in the world. Let me tell you, if I gave all the money I've ever made, it wouldn't help them out much. Hollywood can do more for them, feeding them and putting clothes on them, better than I can. What I have to offer them is the truth. Is the gospel. That's what we have to offer. And that's the biggest thing they will ever need. That's the greatest thing there is. The gospel, the truth. We have it. We can give it to them. We have the truth to give. And you could give, invest in preaching. Invest by going out and witnessing. You can invest in many ways. Just speak the truth. Make it a point for you to give truth to somebody. And you're investing in the truth. In the most valuable thing there is. You can invest in missionaries.
Amen.
You know, there's missionaries that are dedicated to this very thing. Preaching the truth. We do that every day. We're out on the streets. We're preaching to people. And you don't notice anything here. I mean, we're out there. We're not ministering to you. I'm not preaching to you here so that you can pay me when I'm in Mexico. I'm in Mexico. I'm not even ministering to you. And if you send me offerings, I could say like Paul said, I've robbed you. But why? Why do we do that? Why would we send those missionaries money when we don't really owe them anything? It's because we can have part in their ministry. We can be partakers of their fruit. And that's why Paul worked so hard, because he wanted fruit that would abound to your account. And that's what missionaries in our mindset should be. And we can invest in the truth. So I think there's a few things that our generation needs to consider and really think about and strive. We need to strive to buy the truth. We need to have the truth. We need to be firm on that truth. And we need to invest in that truth. Because there's nothing else worth investing in. It's the greatest thing we could do. Lord bless you, brethren. Thank you.